You probably know him as the host and writer of the award-winning podcast, My Only Story. But how did he get there? It was in the aftermath of the passing of his father that triggered flashbacks to his childhood of memories he probably didn't want to remember. It triggered sexual abuse he'd experienced as a young boy, and it led him to track down the alleged perpetrator, and so began his career as a podcaster detailing the horrors of what he discovered had happened to him. Dion Wiggott is the host of My Only Story, and he started this podcast and, of course, joins us now on the line, along with Miranda Jordan, the founding director of Women and Men Against Child Abuse. Dion, a very good morning to you. Your story is now well known because of your podcast. I remember seeing you on even Carte Blanche a couple of years ago. You started a conversation about what happens to children when they're in the care of teachers and coaches, particularly, of course, at elite schools. And those people we as parents trust are, in fact, often the predators themselves.
Good morning, Bongani. That is unfortunately the case. We have these great and good schools in South Africa who promise to turn your child into an elite athlete and to look after them and change their lives for the better. But very often this is not at all what happens. We are seeing that elite athletes. So there are a number of very high-risk groups for sexual abuse. Vulnerable children include elite athletes, because these are kids who have a dream to be a great sportsman or a great sportswoman, so they get extra coaching from their incredibly supportive coach. And then they have to put enormous amounts of effort into maintaining that relationship. If anything weird happens, there's very little that these kids feel that they can do, because their elite coaches at their very famous schools are helping themselves to their genitals.
I mean, it's an incredibly powerful position, is it not, for these coaches, because you've got the hopes, the aspirations, perhaps even the future of these kids completely in your hands. And these children will do anything to please, to meet whatever it is the coach requests of them.
That is the tragedy of it. Remember, it happens insidiously. It happens through dreaming bit by bit by bit. But there are a number of warning lights that really we should be aware of systemically. I mean, most of this investigation is about water polo coaches. If you want to rape a child in South Africa today, my top tip is learn how to coach water polo. There is no easier way to get your hand in the swimming sea of children. But then also teachers who live in hostels. Time and time and time again, we find the question comes up, who wants to live with children? Not only people who want to harm them, but certainly people who do.
We're talking, of course, because of a recent incident, the death of 16-year-old Thomas Kruger, who was a grade 10 pupil at one of South Africa's elite schools in Makanda in the Eastern Cape, St. Andrew's College. He took his life on the 18th of November in 2018, and that's now led to another investigation, and this is where Miranda Jordan comes in, the founding director of Women and Men Against Child Abuse. Talk to me about Operation Nemo, Miranda, and how you have become involved.
Okay, thank you, Bongani. I'm going to quickly just go back one more minute, because what I'm going to be referring to is organized crime. And you may say to me, why organized crime?
Yeah.
So when we talk about these schools, which really are seen as the bastions of tradition, good education and excellence in both sport and culture, we have found within this elite environment, and all that is really good about these traditions, that there's also a sinister underworld that is being identified as increasingly organized and therefore in need of special investigations by the South African Police's Unit of Organized Crime. And this is really where we have come in as an organization that firstly has dealt with a number of cases.
Miranda, are you there? All right, we lost you for a second. As firstly, an organization that has dealt?
Yeah, with high-level crimes that we've created huge awareness around that has brought people forward and has brought other victims who've been involved with, whether it is people like Bob Hewitt or Sidney Frankel or the Catholic Church, as we've done before, all the Balaclava rapists and Alex have brought attention, but it also monitors the case right from the time that statements have been taken to the time when we have conviction sentencing and have often appeared in aggravation of sentence. Luke Lumbrecht for the organization has done that. So, but our initial thing was to, and we have worked with Hale and Niemann before, also on Operation Cloud 9, that was about 5 years ago. And so working together as a team made sense with an organization who does who creates awareness, but is also an advocacy organization that looks at changing certain laws. And certainly there will be many to look at within the school realm.
Sure. But Miranda, I mean, one of the things that I found extraordinary about the story is, firstly, how many of these schools look away when these allegations surface. Of course, as you've just heard me speak to Dion, how incredibly difficult it must be for a young child to speak up in such a system. But you talk about organized crime. Many of these predators are known to each other, and they even share information and tips about how to do this.
Absolutely, and that smacks of organization, does it not? When you talk in WhatsApp groups or in voice recordings or share pictures of certain children, if certain grown men who are meant to be caring for these children and protecting these children within these elite schools are now sharing pictures and that. I mean, we would have definitely looked at them in the past if we had perhaps not been talking about an elite coach of an elite child. We would have certainly probably put them in the category of child pornographers. We wouldn't even be calling them coaches by this stage. But that is exactly how they are operating. And the very difficult thing, Bongani, is that a lot of these children have now become a very, very good sportsmen, some of which are going to soon be entering our national sport. And they are it's going to be very difficult for them to come forward. They certainly don't want to be named. And how we will gather all those statements, I think we will gather the statements, but it will be very difficult for them after all these years and starting a new career. We have to be very mindful of the fact that what these men do and how long it lasts. And just, I think, you know, we had Ian Levitt there yesterday, and this is somebody who's not an activist, but acts legally for many men, men and women who have been abused as children.
Yeah.
And he just said, you know, if sometimes he feels actually if somebody, sort of passes away but doesn't have to live with this their whole life, it's almost harder.
It's an extraordinarily difficult situation. Miranda Jordan, I appreciate your time. She's the founding director of Women and Men Against Child Abuse. And of course, Dion Wiggett's podcast is My Only Story. Season 2 is out, Back to School. And he writes, edits and narrates this podcast. I mean, it's incredible tales that are difficult to tell for the athletes. And the frightening thing, of course, is, as we've just heard from Miranda, there may be some national stars that you admire whose abilities you think are amazing, who may have been victims of this. And of course, you can understand why they wouldn't want to be tainted by this. And this is how perhaps some of these predators get away with it, right? Get away with it all these years later. But if you're a parent, think a little harder about placing your child in the care of some of these predators, because the schools are not always on your side. They're certainly not always on the side of your child.